V'deber Hashem perik vav pasuk aleph. V'deber Hashem Moshe lemor. V'deber bnei Yisrael v'amart elahim. Ish o isha ki yafli lindor neder nazir lahazir lahashem. So there's lots of words over there that probably we should try to translate some of them. It says, a man or a woman, ki yafli. So the word yafli is an interesting word, so we'll need to pay a little attention to that. The word hafla'a is connected to vows. The Rambam, the laws of vows, would be the laws, the hafla'a, sefer hafla'a. Ki yaf, from this word yafli, and again, the connotation is of uttering a vow. Ki yafli lindor neder. So we see right over here that the concept of nazir fits into the laws of nidarim generally. So again, this is one of the examples that we have a particular concept, which maybe you could perhaps you could say is more of a narrow concept, and we haven't really learned about the broader concept yet. I mean, the way that most of us would teach things is that we would first teach the broader concept, and then we would come and teach the more narrow concept. But again, we see that there is a concept of neder. Neder is an idea of giving something. Let me try it like this. Rabbeinu Bachaye says that the first neder in the Torah is the neder which Yaakov makes. Right? And he takes the rock and he says that Vayidor Yaakov neder, and he says that this place will become a house of God. So Rabbeinu Bachaye says, so therefore that is the essence. That's the mahut. That's the essence of a neder. And he says a neder, therefore, is a dira lahashem. Is to make a house of God, is to give, instill something with holiness where the thing was, by its definition, neutral. So therefore, when I make a neder and I say, I'm not going to eat this orange, so I just now ascribe something, and again, those of us who are used to our brisker distinctions, where some laws are on the gavra, some on the cheftza, some laws apply to the individual, some apply to the object, this object versus person, individual distinction actually has its real core in the Gemara by the difference of a neder versus a shvua. So a neder is when you talk, okay, so let's leave it at that for a moment, but whatever we're going to eventually say about nidarim, by extension, is going to apply to a nazir as well. And let me just start and say like this, that Chazal are very uncertain about nidarim. They don't sound good, and we will hopefully get back to this as we continue. Let's read. We don't know yet what a nazir means, although the word does have a connotation of head, which means very likely the most important element of the nazir, and we'll see in a moment there are three elements, that the most important element is having to do with the hair. And the word itself, nazir, may very well be connect nazir echav, right? Is back in the bracha by I'm saying interpret, but I'm saying it may very well do with head, with a crown, with something on the head. So I'm saying that may be the connotation as well. And now we're given the first hint what this means. Miyayin v'shechar yazir, so here we have the word nazir used as well, so that therefore we have to quickly backtrack, even though I said that it sounds like it's the head from other usage, but over here it sounds miyayin v'shechar yazir, chometz yayin v'chometz shechar lo yishteh. That means that he needs to become separate from this, he has to separate himself from these things, from wine and all kinds of wine products. So if we pause there for a second, and you know, I mentioned earlier that if the story of Nadav and Avihu could easily have been in this week's Parsha for the very simple reason that other events from that day are recorded over here, which means that day, Yom HaShmini, was the first day that the Mishkan stood, and that was the day that Nachshon ben Aminadav brought his offering. That is mentioned in this week's Parsha. But another thing which is mentioned in Shmini was the prohibition of a Kohen to drink wine. And it's true that Chazal see this as somehow as a commentary to the episode of Nadav Navihu, therefore to suggest that perhaps Nadav Navihu, they were drunk when they went in, and that's what caused all of the problems. As I said, that's an interpretation. We don't know that that's what happened, in fact, to Nadav Avihu. That's an interpretation. But over here, the more general law which is introduced over there is that a Kohen on duty is not allowed to drink wine. That's the only prohibition that we knew of wine till this point. A Kohen on duty can't drink wine. Now that's interesting, because the first information I therefore have about the Nazir is that there is this echo of a Kohen on duty. So therefore, by making this vow, what has he just now become? He's become like a Kohen on duty, so let's pause. But it continues and it says, this is not the same pasuk, ta'ar lo ya'avor al rosho, that this person should not cut their hair, ad mulote yamim asher yazir la'ashem. And that's also interesting, the whole day that he's yazir la'ashem, it put God involved in this. Kodesh yihyeh. There's holiness involved in this. So over here we have an introduction of holiness, and the Nazir, therefore, is called holy. So that's something that we have to keep in, you know, keep in mind. There's holiness involved in this status that he has achieved. Gadel perasa'ar rosho. He has to grow his hair long. Now, that's interesting, certainly in terms of the Kohen, because one of the things that a Kohen can't do is let their hair grow wild. The other thing, in the previous section, we had a discussion of the sota that came right before here, and there again, also the sota's hair is let to go wild, free. So there, that would seem to really be, aside from the fact one is right after the other, but some kind of a connection between the sota and the nazir. Kol yimei haziro la'ashem. Again, the whole time that he's a Nazir, La Hashem. Again, it's a Nazir to God. There's something godly going on. There's holiness involved in this. Al Nefesh Meit Lo Yavo. He's not allowed to come in contact with the dead. That took us right back to the Kohen status. So every Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the dead. But when it goes further, of course, by regular Kohanim, there is an exception. And again, where was this law introduced? It was introduced right after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, is where Aharon is told that he should not be leaving the Mishkan at all, and he cannot become Tameh at all. And Pasuk Zayin says, "Laviv limo lachiv lachato lo yitama lahem motam ki nezir lo kava rosho." Because again, that's the nazir of God on his head. So that seems to go back to that same point in terms of the connection with the head. So let's just pause for a second, because the three laws which were introduced, and I'm going to say them in a different order than they're given to us. One is that he can't drink any wine. That's like a Kohen on duty. Second, we're told that he cannot leave the Beit HaMikdash. Sorry, he cannot become Tameh whatsoever for any dead person. That's like a Kohen Gadol. So far he's like a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol. But the third part is, when it comes to the hair, it's actually the opposite of a Kohen. So he's like a Kohen, he's like a Kohen Gadol, but you're not like a Kohen. So there's something very interesting there within the combination of those three laws. But then, after introducing this problem in terms of becoming Tameh, we're told about a possible problem which could come up. V'chiyamot meit alav b'feta piton. If suddenly, unexpectedly, somebody dies, v'timei v'rosh... Rosh Nizro, again, it goes back to the head, the Nizro and the Rosh, that he becomes Tameh. It's not because it was on purpose. And under normal circumstances, this would either be not a problem, or, right, a regular person comes in contact with that, or even a mitzvah, a meit mitzvah, which means the problem which is introduced over here, had he not been a Nazir, there would be no problem. The problem which is introduced is exclusively because he's a Nazir and he put himself in this situation of his, let's call it, increased holiness, of his, I'll call it his being a Kohen wannabe. Maybe that's not fair, but wannabe is certainly better than imposter. Right? V'gilach rosho b'yom taharato b'yom ha-shvi'i yigalchenu. So let me explain a little bit using a little bit of Chazal. Stam Nazir, a plain Nazir without any other information, is for 30 days. So this person, before he completed his 30 days, became Tameh. So now, if he came Tameh, let's just say, to make this easy for some of us, he became Tameh on the 20th day. So now what happens on the 20th day? So now we're told exactly what must happen. So let's continue reading. It says, of Yom HaShmini, Yavish Shtei Torim, and he has to go through this process of becoming purified. Sorry, let's read the rest of Pasuk Tet. V'gilach Rosho B'yom Tarato B'yom HaShvii Gachenu. So he has to become Tahar now, which is a process which will take 7 days. On the 8th day, V'yom HaShvii, Yavish Shtei Torim O Shtei V'nei Yonah El HaKohen O Petach O HaMohed. Now he has to bring this to the real Kohen. V'asa Kohen Achad L'chatat. That should be a warning sign for us. One of these should be for a sin offering, v'chad la'ola, v'chiper alav, to bring about atonement for him. So it's not just that he needs to bring a chatat, because there are certain times in the Torah that a chatat is brought that we can begin to try to figure out what is the need for that chatat. But the problem is not the chatat per se, the problem, which is normally a sin offering, the problem is v'chiper alav. And therefore he will receive atonement, Yom Kippur, Kippur. He needs atonement, me'asher chata al hanafesh, because he sinned against his soul. V'kidesh et rosho b'yom ahu, and then he becomes holy, his head becomes holy again on that day. And then what happens? V'zir l'Hashem yimei nizro, v'vikav es ben shenato l'Hashem, v'yamim arishonim yiplu ki tamei nizro. And the first days got canceled. So if 20 days went by, I could have said, I just owe another 10 days. I made a vow for 30 days. So what's the what is it? No, you didn't make a vow for 10 days and 10 days and 10 days. You made a vow for 30 days. And therefore, those first days don't count. You need, but the sin offering is interesting. Why do I need to bring the sin offering? And then it continues, you need to now fix the whole thing and go through the proper time. Zot Torah Tanazir b'yom lo yemei nizra, when he completes it, yaviyoto petach ohamoed v'kriyvet korbanot la'Hashem keves ben shnatat tamid achad lo'olah v'kivsa achad ben shnatat tumah l'chatat. Over here again, he's told to bring a chatat. The only difference over here is the chatat brought on this day when he's completed it successfully didn't say l'chaper, didn't say to bring about atonement, and didn't say that other phrase which was so interesting, me'asher chata al hanefesh, because he has sinned. So, what exactly is the sin? So, I could have said that the sin is that now he has the status of a Nazir, if you prefer, as a quasi-Kohen. Now, previously, if he would have come in contact with the dead, there was no sin whatsoever. So, what is his sin? His sin is that he brought on himself extra Kedusha, and now he violated that extra Kedusha. So, because he violated extra Kedusha, now he has to bring about a sin offering. Because a normal person would not have had to bring about a sin offering, because they became Tamei, because there was nothing that was broken. So over here, what is the problem? Is that the sin is that he was a Nazir. The sin is that he was a Nazir and he broke his Nizirut. That seems to be the straightforward read of this. Yeah, by accident. By accident. No, this is by accident. He came in contact with the dead, but you know what? This is a foreseeable accident. Why is it a foreseeable accident? Who told you to become a Nazir? Who is responsible for him breaking this law? You're going to say, but it's not his fault. It is his fault. Why is it his fault? Stu's shaking his head at me. Why is it his fault? I don't care what you're going to say. He does. He brings a sin offering, but it's not described in the same way. It doesn't say to bring about kapara, right? That's what's missing. V'chipera lav me'asher chata ala nefesh. That phrase is missing, so therefore I can begin to understand that perhaps that sin offering is different. Again, I can say all kinds of things, including I can say maybe the sin offering is that he's no longer a Nazir. Who told you he can stop being a Nazir? Now you're returning back to become a regular guy? Who told you to do that? And I'll say it again. Who bears the responsibility for him in coming in contact with the dead? So you're going to say, well, it was an accident. That's not true. Was this a possible, foreseeable accident? You're not convinced. Was this a possible, foreseeable scenario?
Yes.
So therefore, now you've become Tamei, and you were not allowed to become Tamei, so who bears the responsibility for this sin of a Nazir becoming Tamei? You do. But you're not responsible. You did it by accident. What's the response? You are responsible, because you didn't become a Nazir by accident. You became a Nazir on purpose. So now you realize that you have this responsibility. You don't like this? You don't want responsibility?
That's exactly what makes it fix that.
Right. But even though that's a general statement in terms of the on purpose. Okay. Let's continue. But later on it says, Visal Matzot Zolot Chalot, and so on. And then pasuk tet zayin v'kriva l'vnei Hashem v'asa et chatato. Again, that's his korban chatat v'lato. And I'm going to say it again that those phrase that other missing phrase was well that other phrase is missing over here. Okay, the kli yakar. Are we familiar with the kli yakar? So the kli yakar. So I'll say a couple things about him. First thing I'll say is the only one you'll remember. And that is that he took the Maharal's place when the Maharal passed away. He was the replacement for the Maharal. It's possible, if I'm not mistaken, he may even have replaced the Maharal before he passed away. It could be the Maharal stepped in. That's why I asked when rabbis retire. It's possible he replaced them before. His name was Shlomo Ephraim Lunshitz. He himself, it wasn't his real name, actually. He took that name. He assumed that name at some point. He had been very, very sick, and he took an extra name. He added the name, if I'm not mistaken, he added Shlomo, who was his teacher's name. His teacher was the Maharshal. So he took this name Shlomo after he became very sick. And before that, he was very well known as a preacher. He was a wonderful darshan, gave wonderful, wonderful drashot. Now, the good thing about being a traveling preacher is you can give the same drasha every year. I mean, you could do it if a rabbi in a shul also, because what are the odds that they listened? If they listened, the odds they remember. If they remember, what are the odds? Whatever. And you say, no, I'm going to say it a little differently this year. But he was a traveling preacher, and he had great, great drashot, and he got very sick, and he made a neder, and he said, which is also connected to all this, that if I get better, I'm going to publish my drashot. I'm going to put them out for the world, that therefore I won't have exclusivity on them anymore. And that is his commentary, the Kli Yakar. One of the things I love about the Kli Yakar is that when he likes what he wrote, he'll say, Zema od yakar, the pirush yakar. He goes, this was a good one. This one I liked. So we will take a look. His years are from 1540 to 1619. The Maharal died in 1609, so theoretically, not theoretically, he outlives the Maharal another 10 years, and during that time he was the rabbi of Prague. Isho ishaki aflilin nidod neder nazir l'Hashem. So davar acher, because I skipped the first interpretation, ki afli, lashon havdala. So it's the word, he's saying ki afli is a word of separation or distinction, v'hafrasha. V'davar zeh yesh lafrasho b'shlosha panim, I will offer you three interpretations, he says. Echad, the first one, hu sh'yedei yayin ein yechol lahavdil, which means wine prevents you from making a proper havdala. From making distinctions, from understanding good from bad sometimes. I mean, there's a lot to say about this. If you've ever heard the rumor that women are not supposed to drink from Havdalah, you've heard such a rumor. They grow beard is a separate problem. That's so the source for this is from the Shla Kodesh. Incidentally, one of the Kli Yakar students was the Shla's son. The Shla Kadosh writes that one woman, Eve, in the Garden of Eden, didn't make a proper Havdalah regarding which tree to eat from, which not to eat from, and therefore, when we make Havdalah, it's inappropriate for her to drink from the tree, which again, according to the Kabbalistic sources, the tree was the vine, was grape, so therefore it's inappropriate. Where the beard comes from, that's a whole other problem, if there is such a thing. But he does actually make the statement that it was an improper Havdalah, and therefore it should be avoided. So over here, you hear the echo of that same kind of thing, and he says that drinking wine causes confusion, which also goes back to the Nadir Navihu problem. Perhaps they did drink wine, and therefore they were confused by what they should do or not do. And he goes and he quotes the Pasuk back from Parshat Shmini. And I'll say it again, there is a lot of overlap between this Parsha and Shmini. Yain v'shecher al tesht v'samich leu lahavdil ben hakodesh u'ben hachol. Those are two verses, one after the other, in Parsha Shmini, and therefore you have, don't drink wine, in order that you're not going to get confused between things which are holy and not holy, and those of you who do want to become confused, drinking wine is often a wonderful way of doing this. Okay. L'kach amar ki yafli. And then he gets into this whole women issue as well, which I want to pause for a second. So his first interpretation that he's offering us is that wine causes confusion, And therefore, what is a Nazir? A Nazir is somebody who's trying to achieve clarity. And he wants to avoid confusion and therefore stay away from the wine. Hashenihu, Loshon HaFrasha Minata Anug HaOlam. It's not an intellectual point that he wants to avoid confusion. What's the second way that he's going? Again, it's separation, which is, he said that there's three ways of explaining separation, but which is the key word here? Mita'anugei ha'olam. Asher hayayin rosh l'kulam. He's saying, here's a person who's taking up ascetic practices. He wants to try to stay away from the pleasures of this world. So that's why he is doing this. So the first interpretation was more intellectual, and the second interpretation is more, shall we say, experiential or trying to avoid hedonistic pleasure. Hainu Pel'i Shmo is the name of the angel. Ki kol malach nekral shem ha'shlichud. V'ani nishlachti lasot ha'ben ha'yilud nazir mufla. U'mufrash mikol nenei olam hazeh. V'oshem shenemar ish ki yafli lekach ani nekral Pel'i. So therefore he has a very interesting interpretation over here, connecting the whole story of Shimshon, who becomes maybe the most famous Nazir, and telling us that the purpose of Shimshon's is in order to become really separated from this world. I could have also said maybe the purpose of Shimshon becoming Nazir is to avoid confusion. But that is not what he says. He continues and writes a line or two later, Ve'ena kavana b'nizirut z'sheya perushman ayayin shloshim yom. The purpose of the Nazir is not just for the 30-day trial period. What did this help at all? I'm not translating, but I'll explain. What he's saying is that this is reminiscent of the Rambam's golden rule. I know he didn't say a word of that. What's the Rambam's golden rule? That you're supposed to end up in the middle. But what if you find yourself too much to an extreme? So he's saying, okay, so now go cold turkey, not wild turkey, that's something else. Go cold turkey, stop completely, and then you'll be able to move towards a temperate life, moderation, and you'll be able to stay in the middle. But the purpose over here is not just a 30-day stopping and then continue back to your binges. Okay. Hashlishi, the third interpretation. Hu al derech sha'amru chazal, and this is the one that we're going to spend the most time with today. This is based on what chazal say, and now he moved over, he's quoting Gemara in Nidarim. This Gemara, it's like in six or so different places, but it's appropriate to quote from Nedarim, because he's talking about a neder generally. So just in case this seemed a little subtle, he just moved from the specific Nazir vow going on to the rules of vows generally, and what do vows accomplish. And he writes, Hanoder ki'ilu bana bama. And he says that a person who makes a vow, it is as if he has built a bama. Now what is a bama? Bama literally is a high place. A bama is where somebody would put their own private mizbeach, their own private place of worship. This is not allowed. Okay, there was a time that bamot were allowed. Prior to the Beit HaMikdash, earlier in history, then there was not yet one central place. But when it says over here, it's as if he built a bama, the question over here is at which time we're talking. So let's pause for a moment and take a look at, we're going to come right back there, so don't lose that. Take a look at source number 5. It's the Gemara he's quoting. Tani Rabbi Natan Omer, Hanoder ke'ilu bana bama. Somebody who made a vow is as if he built a bama. V'hamekaimo, and if you keep your vow, now you hold it, you would say, keeping your vow should be a good thing. If you keep your vow, ki'ilu kriv alav korban, as if you've offered something on this bama. Now, there's two stages there. One stage is building it, the other stage is worshipping on it. Look at Rashi. Ki'ilu bana bama la'avodat kochavim. It's as if you're worshipping idolatry. Now, if you're telling me that making a neder, any neder, is like idolatry, so we have to start all over again because we are a little confused. Look at Rashi in 7. Here he's commenting on the Gemara on Yevamot, which is a different source, which has the same Gemara, Ki'ilu Kriv Korban, Sh'avar Lav Shtei Averot. This person broke two things. Again, one was building, one was making the one, the other one was fulfilling it. Eliyelech Eitzel Chacham, what should he have done? You go to Chacham, V'yatirenu. And the Chacham should then cancel the vow. Kidei Shelo Yeh Ragil Bekach, so the person shouldn't be accustomed to making vows. So you realize that Rashi, echoing the Gemara over here, has this very negative understanding about vows. Just to see a little more back in Source 5, we read the first part, Amar Shmuel, the end of the first line, Kol HaNodur Af Al Pi Shemago Nikra Rasha. Anybody makes a vow, even if you keep it, you're called a wicked person. And then Rabbi Abahu comes and brings us a source for this. So what did the Kli Yakar just now do? He just now went from the specific Nazir to the general Neder, and he's saying, oh, Neder, this is bad. This is bad. Nazir, that's part of Nedarim, this is a bad thing. Now, we already got a hint why it's a bad thing. What was our hint? Our hint is, well, once you put yourself in this situation, bad things can happen. What was the example that we saw from the Chumash? That till now you become Tamei, nothing happened. Now your Nazir become Tamei, and now you have to start all over again. You have to bring this Korban. You've just now entered into this unexpected world, and you could have avoided all this. How can you avoid all this? Just say, you know what? I don't want to drink wine. Don't drink wine. What do I have to make a Nedir for? What do I have to become a Nazir for? Why did I have to create this whole other situation? See?
You make a distinction
You could decide before, by the time I finish today. Good. Let's continue back. We're in the middle of source number 2, where he says the third way to approach this. But what I will say is, if a chumrah won't bring you closer to God, then you have to wonder about that particular chumrah. Now, again, the reason why I hesitate in answering in this kind of forum is because we really have to know what a chumrah is and what's not a chumrah. What is already a minhag and a chumrah, not necessarily the same thing. But I'll give you an example of a chumrah and an approach, and I'll say all of this parenthetically. Reb Chaim agreed with the Chacham Tzvi regarding, if somebody comes from out of Israel and comes to Israel for the Chagim, the Chacham Tzvi didn't know anything about you need to be here Shalosh Regalim. Actually, most poskim don't even bring that up. You need to be here 1 year, 2 years, whatever it is. You need to move. If you're in Israel, you keep 1 day. That was what the Chacham Tzvi said. Reb Chaim agreed that the Chacham Tzvi was correct. You're in Israel, you keep 1 day. But Reb Chaim, being a brisker, said this was a wonderful opportunity. But he says, but there's other shitot of the Rishon, and let's try to keep every single Rishon. So you come to Pesach. So Pesach, you can have a second Seder. Why? Because you want to be Machmir. Don't do work, because you want to be Machmir. On the other hand, you have to daven as if it's Chol HaMoed. When it comes to the second Seder, you only make the brachot on the Nehenin, but you don't make brachot a mitzvah. So this is a wonderful opportunity. I remember when my parents came for Pesach 1 year, and my father was so happy. Because going through his whole fake second Seder, sorry for using that word fake, no one else was having a second Seder. Right? What do you do? What you don't do? What broccoli you say you don't? So we got to think so much about this and to do this, and this was wonderful. At some point, I discussed this with Rav Lichtenstein, who would paskin for people 1.5 days, meaning keep the second day and don't do any malacha. And I said, most people that come to me and ask me, students, others, most of these people, they don't understand what the half a day is. They're not briskers. They don't relate to this. They don't understand this. And this chumrah does not bring, for a brisker, it's a wonderful thing. This chumrah doesn't bring them closer to God. So now, did I convince Rav Lichtenstein? No. Again, he hesitated in terms of the malacha. There were the reasons that bothered him. But I told him, I paskin 1 day because I see the day and a half as being paskining like a Chacham Tzvi 1 day, and then it's a chumrah. This chumrah doesn't bring people closer to God. This chumrah makes people feel like idiots. No offense. When everybody else in Israel is keeping one day, and you're the only one who's not, you just feel that there's something amiss over here. So now, is that feeling significant? So I'm going to say the other way around. For certain people, keeping a day and a half is a wonderful opportunity. But I explained to him why I want a paskin one day, and I don't want to overstate it. Say I got his bracha, I got his blessing, his approval, but he didn't yell at me. And that's also good. No, he shook his head. If you know, he shook his head, whatever. You with me when we went? Do you remember that or no? Okay. So, whether it applies to chumrah, I think there's certain chumrah that people may take, but you have to know what is a chumrah and what's not a chumrah. Especially if it's the chumrah that, you know, there's some rabbis who paskin for other people to keep chumrah. This is a good chumrah for you. So that I would... Okay. Hanodu ke'ilu bono bama. Umarman zet timtza'alav perush yakar. See, he did it. You don't even appreciate this. He goes, and on this, I'm going to give you something which is very precious. Perush yakar ma'od, sorry. Umarman zet timtza'alav perush yakar ma'od l'kaman b'parashat matot. Okay, you're going to have to wait for Parshat Matot for this. They're going to Ayin Sham. Look there, something really good. And he goes, this follows the same approach. It's saying that Nazir is a chote. Why is he a sinner? Because he's created more prohibitions in the world. Who are you to make more prohibitions in the world? You want to go back to Chumrot now? Who are you to create more prohibitions? The Kach Nemar Ki Afli, Shurotzel Liot Muvdal Mufurash Mizvoto Ubone Barma La'atzmo. So he is using the Gemara about Neder. Whoever makes a Neder just built a Bama. What's a Bama? See, it's really interesting, the imagery over here. What's a Bama? As opposed to Beit HaMikdash, which is centralized worship for everybody, you're building your own private Bama. You have your own private religion. You have your own private rules. Your own private laws that you're keeping. So he's saying the Nazir, there is an opinion in the Gemara that Nazir is a chote. Where did they get that from? Well, they got that from the Pasuk, right? We'll see it in a moment. The opinion is that why is he chote? That he decided he doesn't want to enjoy this world at all. You know, God said you can drink wine, and you decided I don't want to drink wine. Who are you to disagree with God? What kind of chutzpah is this? So according to that approach, why does the Nazir have to bring an offering afterwards? Because he broke God's rule. God said you should be drinking wine, and you decided you don't want to drink wine. What kind of? And again, you want to decide you want to drink one thing. You want to make a vow about this. Now, the reason why this whole approach is a little funny is so then why does God make a law of a Nazir for someone to go against God's law? If that's God's law to make a Nazir, so then you're going to be stuck in a circle over here. So there is obviously something which is a little confusing about all of this. But still, the Kli Yakar is telling us that this approach, this third approach, that any neder is like a bama, your own personal place of service, follows the approach that Nazir is a sinner because he's separated from everyone else.
Next,
he falls under Pav's Baal Tosef, which we'll see in a second he's actually going to say. Continuing in the Kli Yakar and Pasuk Yud Aleph, second line from the bottom of the page. V'chiper alav ma'asher chata ala nefesh. That was the verse where it says, now what was the context of that verse? That was the Nazir who came in contact with the dead, and now he has to bring this whole offering, and now we have to bring, that's where it said, al ha'nefesh. Rabbi Lezer ha'kapar omer al shatzir atzmo min hayayin. Rabbi Elazar Kapar, he's the one who said that, why does he bring it? Because, again, this is what I said a moment ago, because he didn't enjoy the wine. There is Yerushalmi, we've quoted this before, that says that any legitimate pleasure of this world you didn't have, God is going to, on the day of judgment, you have to explain what was going on. The Gemara there explains that there was certain Amora, anytime he would go to the Shuk, anytime he saw something new, he would buy he always saved some coins, save up his money and buy the new fruit, so that God wouldn't ask him on the day of judgment, no, so what do you think of guava? I think it smells pretty bad. What do you mean when I think of guava? Okay, I'll try it once. But that's the answer. You have to try everything, because God says, I put it there. This is where this famous story of Shem Shifol Hirsch comes from, which either did or didn't happen, where at some point in his life he said, I have to go to the Alps. Why do you have to go to the Alps? He goes, well, what happens if God says to me, no, so what do you think of my Alps? So I have a friend who's very yeshivish, your son-in-law, who I discussed this with him this week. So he says to me, you think that's the first thing God's going to ask? First he's going to ask is, did he see Zvachim? Did he see Menachos? Did he see this? He goes, the Alps are down on the bottom of the list. Don't think it's the first thing that he's going to ask you. First he wants to know if you learned through Shas. And then maybe at some point he'll get to the Alps. Okay. It's good that he has inside information as far as what the questions are. The Himalayas? I don't know. Okay, let's continue. Rav Breuer told the story? So his Rav Breuer told the story, so either it happened or he also heard. Rav Breuer was his grandson, a great-grandson, so either it happened or it didn't. Okay, so the Kli Yakar just now quoted Rav Elazar HaKapar and says that why does he bring the sin offering? Because he was Metzeret Tzom Min Hayayin. Now, there's something very interesting, which if anybody was really, really sharp here, you would have already asked me. No, I'm sorry, I just insulted all of you, right? Then he should have... Exactly. See? It shouldn't have been here. This should have been later on. Which means when Elazar Kapar says that he has to bring the sin offering because... Tzi'eret Atzmo, it's on this verse, but it shouldn't have been on this verse. It should have been later on by the Korban Chatat. So now he's going to tell us another interpretation, which will be very interesting. Why is it mentioned over here in the scenario where he became Tameh? The Ocha Katuv Koro Kadosh. On the other hand, he's called holy. So make up your mind. Is he holy or is he a sinner? So what's the answer? He's a holy sinner, right? The Eich Yomar V'Lezer Kapar Shenikra Chote. Meaning, we as commentators, even if we're Tanoim Amorayim, have limits. What's one of our limits? It's hard to go against the Pasuk. The Pasuk calls him holy. But on the other hand, he has to bring a sin offering. On the other hand, he has to get Kapara. So if he's holy, he has to get atonement. So which one is it? So we have a tension over here. V'nir shegam R'lezer Moda shekol yimei hemshech nizatro hu nikra kodesh. Because R'lezer Kapara would agree that he's holy for the rest of the time. V'lo chote ki nazir elokim hu amnam im nitma b'med she dino v'hayamim arishonim yiflu Yiplu ki tamei nizro umikan lahalin chushbana lumafreya iglu milta sheyamim rishonim lo hayibachal nizirut ki ilu tzirat atzmau bahem in ayayin below tam below eight niziruto. That's very nice. The alkain, I'll explain in a moment. Hu nikra chote alotoni yamim rishonim sheeinu bahem ki im ki mitzdar ba'alma below nizirat nizirut v'kedusha v'ze perush yakar. Okay, what did he just now say? He said, if a person says, I'm going to be a Nazir for 30 days, 20 days go by, and then he becomes Tameh. So what does he have to do? He has to go through this whole process, bringing this whole offering, this cleansing process, becoming Tahar. Then he has to start all over again. Those first 20 days, was he a Nazir? Those first 20 days didn't count. If it didn't count, what does he say? So therefore, he stayed away from wine for no reason. So that's why he has to bring a sin offering for not drinking wine, because he wasn't even a Nazir. So he's claiming now, if you're a real Nazir, you're Kadosh. But if you're a fake Nazir, you weren't even Kadosh. So therefore you have to, and therefore he's saying the Nazir is dangerous ground. Because when you're trying over here to bring extra laws on you, you have to be very, very careful.
You're only a Nazir after the 30 days?
He says it only turned out that you were a successful Nazir.
But after the 30 days, in theory, you can stop being a Nazir.
Yes, yes.
So you're a Nazir for a minute.
No, so let me try again. When a person says they want to be a Nazir, so without any other qualification, it's 30 days. So therefore, when he did it for 20 days, he became Tamei, then he has, none of those 20 days count. He has to do it all over again for 30 days. So therefore, he's saying, now when I look at it, Iglui Milta Lumafreya, how do you say that in English? Retroactively, it becomes apparent to us that he never was a Nazir, because none of those days count. So what was he? Stomp some guy who didn't want to drink wine. So now you have to bring a korban for not drinking wine. That's what he says. And not only does he say it, what else did he say about this? Zev perush yakar. Amnam, mankom iti, because I still have a place, l'faresh de Reb Elazar b'derech acher. I can explain this in another way. V'lomer shelakach nichron nazir chotei ki keilu haya ish tam v'yashar michalkel dvar v'mishpat lo yatzarech lindor lazir ki mima ya'akev al yado l'nakeg b'frishut uv'harchakat hamutarot b'lo neder. ומאיצטרך להתקשר בנזירות, זה יורו כי יודע בעצמו שאין מעצור לרוחו, וכן הוא קופץ ונשבע כנגד היצר הרע. He said a normal person can control themselves. A normal person can say, I don't want to drink wine. I won't drink wine this week. I'm going to have one cup, I'll have one cup. Not every night is the Seder, right? You don't have to have four cups every night. So he's saying, who told you to become a Nazir? You want to not drink wine, so don't drink wine. It's only because you sense your own frailty that you need to become a Nazir in order to control yourself. That's why you're a sinner. You're a sinner by virtue of the fact that you needed to become a Nazir, because a normal person doesn't need to become a Nazir. I hope you appreciate his entering into the world of psychology and therapy over here. And then he writes, Uvezegaram latzmo tzar, ki kol devar hanadur, Yitzro Tokfor Biyoter. And then he just now said something fascinating. What happens when you now created this thing which is prohibited? Now you've created forbidden fruit. So now it's forbidden fruit. What just now happened? Now your Yitzhahara is going to tell you that you want it. Beforehand, and that's what he's saying, that's the insanity. Do you realize what he did? He gave a psychological interpretation why Nedarim aren't allowed. He goes, because when you create Nedarim, what are you doing? You're creating forbidden fruit. And by creating forbidden, and what does your Yetzirah want? What it can't have. So therefore, by making a Neder, any Neder, not just Nazir, by making any Neder, what are you doing? You're creating more, not just that you're creating more Isurim in the world, more prohibited things, which we'll see something about that in a moment, you're creating more Yetzirah in the world. And you think you're a big tzaddik and you're holy. You're holy because you're not doing something which, under normal circumstances, was never not allowed. So you're holy because you're not doing something which you created as an Isser, and therefore created extra Yetzirah. Are you out of your mind? Which is basically what he's saying over here. And that's why you're a sinner. What kind of terrible person are you? Umitam zenik v'kol nedechote, k'moshe lamdu min ha-pasuk. V'chi techdalun dor, lo yeh b'chochet. L'fi shemigra ha-yetzir hara ba'atzmo. Because you've just created more Yetzer Hara. Omim lo daicha masha asra lecha Torah. I have to show you where he's getting this from. Just stop for a second and move over to the Yerushalmi in source 9. This is one of the things which the rabbis use as what's called a petach to open up a neder. Somebody made a neder and says, hold it, didn't you realize this? Didn't you realize this? Each rabbi has their own way of the petach. This is one of the four or five different approaches. Source 9, Rabbi Dimi b'shem b'yitzchak, this is how he would open up a neder for someone. Lo daicha masha asra lecha ha-Torah, elo shata mevakesh lesor lecha dver macherim. It's not enough. You don't have enough prohibitions in the Torah? You have to make up your own prohibitions now? So that's what he had in mind just now, saying, like, what are you doing? But aside from it being religiously questionable, he's actually saying that it may very well be spiritually devastating. We'll skip a little bit. This person who's adding more things, so he just called it Baltosif. But it's fascinating. He's calling any neder, including Nazir, but which is a parsha in the Torah. He says that Yovan Baltosif. And what else are you doing? Well, most of you are Yetzahara. You've created more Yetzahara in the world. And who said, you know, what's the antidote for the Yetzahara? Torah. And who said there's enough Torah to be an antidote for your new Yetzahara that you just now created? So he's on a roll now. He goes, only the Torah is an antidote to normal Yetzahara. That you have a crazy Yetzirah, that you're creating more Nedarim of things you can't do. Who said the Torah is going to help you on this? Kach Nazir Zen, and then what's his example? Nazir. Kach Nazir Zen Nikrachote Mishnei Tzadim. For two reasons. Hein Mitzad Shekodim Nizir Zeya Ki'ir Prutza In Ma'atzor L'Rucho Ad Asher Hu Tzrach Let Kashot B'Nizirut. Beforehand, everything was allowed. Hein Mitzad Priyotu Nazir Hu Megareha Yetzahara B'Nafshe. One is creating more laws, and two, by creating more Yetzirah. And he has to say this, else he'll get in trouble. Kadosh Yamulo, he's still holy. Im Yamod Kenegid Kenegdo, Ki Yetzer Kol Mizimotav Lefrotz Kidro. And when are you called holy? If you're able to hold off the Yetzer Hara that you've just now created by creating more Yisurim. And I think your question about Chumrot are very good by the time we, you know, you get to this point in this Kliyarkar. Al Kain, therefore, he needs Kapara. Why do you need kapara? Because you've made the Yetzirah that much stronger in the world, and that's why he needs to bring the, and that's why he needs to be forgiven afterwards, and so on and so forth. And he also says at the end, ki'ilu hoya, and he says part of the problem is, and this is way before the Baal Shem Tov, va'od hu tzrach kapara shetzir atzmo, he made himself upset, v'tachet asher lo avad at Hashem b'simcha ki mitzar. Instead of serving God out of simcha, you're serving God out of creating more and more boundaries for yourself. And he goes, you never would have become tameh. You can argue with this point. He goes, you really would have been happy and a good person and level-headed. You wouldn't have gotten yourself into all of this. And we'll just end up by saying, that if you're happy, that's enough. His in source number 4, it's the Kli Yarkar that he promised you. In Parsha Ishkidar in Bamidbar Perek Lamed Ishkidar Neder Lashem and so on. So source number 4, he goes more into this idea of creating more and more Isurim, but he also goes into the parable or the mashal of creating a bama. He says, "Who are you? Why are you making a bama? It's a sign of that you need to become a nazir or neder. Any neder is a sign of haughtiness. It's a sign of ga'ava. It's a sign of your own needs over here that you're creating." Oh, just a little read. V'tamoshel devar hu shiurdat ra'el sof data noder ki hu oser latzmo mashakol olam noogim bo heter mistama rom levavo hisiu shemikol ha'eda yavdil v'hotzi et atzmo min haklal. He separated himself from the community. The regular laws aren't good enough for you. Regular place to pray isn't good enough for you. You need your own bama. And he says that, and that's what the comparison is. And then he says, "V'derech zamatzin b'lashon chazal shelo yakol achad olech ubonei bama la'atzmo ki kol zederech ge'a v'gaon kamo sha'omru chazal kol mishesh lo gasut haruach." Whoever, how would you translate gasut haruach? Pride. Ki'ilu bana bama. That's another time that says, as if you have a bama. So he's using the bama analogy and saying, look how terrible it is, the person who makes these nidarim. So, in terms of, is it on the person or is it on the object? That's the issue. In source number 11, you know what? Before 11, let me do 10. Right? That makes sense, right? 10 is short, it's a Mishnah. Ben Hei Hei Omer, this is the end of Pirkei Avot. Pirkei Avot in its authentic form only has 5 chapters. Ben Hei Hei, end of the 5th chapter, now you'll remember. That's his name. Hei Hei. No. There's a Tosa that says Hei Hei and Bag Bag are the same person, because Bet and Gimel is Hei. So Bag Bag is Hei Hei, it's the same guy. I don't know. Ben Hei Hei Omer, Lufum tsa'ara agra. According to the difficulty is the reward. So this is a general principle. This is a very important principle. It's also Gemara in Brachot as well. It says the reward for someone who goes to the pirka, someone who goes to the shir, somebody who's, they used to have, the learning was the archikalo, they would call it today. It was called the pirka. People worked all year. But the month before Pesach and the month before Rosh Hashanah, they would take off and they would learn. And generally what they would learn would be the laws about those particular holidays. But that was called the Pirka. Most people learn, as I said, they work 10 months a year, and 2 months a year they would end up learning. So it says, who gets the most schar? Who gets the most reward in the shir? So on the one hand, I would like to say the person who prepares the shir and gives the shir should clearly get the most reward. Or you can say maybe the person who learned the most. Where he started here and got here, or maybe it should be the person, is the person who grew the most, the person who learned the most. And so the Gemara tells us who gets the most reward. The person, it says, whose chair was hardest. The person who had the hardest time sitting there. The person who found the most difficulty sitting in the room, they're the one who gets the most reward. Okay, that's you today. Okay. The person who gets doesn't feel well. The person who gets the most reward is the one who is most discomforted. And they work the hardest to get there. Why? For this reason. Lefum tzara agra. So this is fascinating. Because it's saying is that reward, and this is a rule of Olam Haba. This is the opposite of Olam Hazeh. That's why it says, one of the rabbis said, I went up, what do you see? Olam hafuch matasi. Everything was the opposite of our thought it would be. Why? Because in this world, we judge things and people based upon accomplishments. We don't judge people based upon struggle. One of the reasons is that we tend to ignore other people's struggles and exaggerate our own struggles. So therefore, who cares about someone else's struggle? So therefore, if there's one guy who gets to shul, let's say 7 days a week, but it's really easy, especially because he doesn't want to help his wife in the morning. Oh, the kid, sorry, got to go to shul. Right? You know this. I've said this many times. Yes? He's got to go to shul in the afternoon. Got to help. Oh, got to go to shul. In the evening, put the kid, got to go to shul. So he can't help the homework, can't help with anything. And that's why the Muslims have to go to shul 5 times because they have more than one wife. Okay. So that person who keeps getting to shul, so we look at the success. Oh, he's a shul goer. Now, it could be somebody else struggles to get out of bed, struggles this, and we don't see the struggle. So what a surprise that it could be that God gives the person who succeeds once in 10 days more reward than the person who succeeds every day. You say, that's very surprising. How could he get more reward as a shul goer? Because he struggled more. So as I said, that's just a shot. That's why Olam Hafuch Matzasi, because we have no idea what people are struggling with in this world. And we look at things in terms of accomplishments. What a shock it will be to find out that God doesn't look at things in terms of accomplishments, but rather in terms of struggle. And the reason is because struggle is basically this religious gesture of the person who's trying to do the word of God. The person who's really easy, so what did that mean? Again, if one person buys flowers and it was just easy to buy flowers, the other person goes all out of their way to find flowers for their wife, so which is more appreciated? Okay, so you're going to tell, is it really the flowers that look nicer, or is it the flowers that was much more was invested within those flowers? Do you need any other examples? Good, that's enough. Right, so again, it's the relationship. What it comes down to, it's not just the personality, it's the relationship with God, which changes depending on how hard you're working on that relationship. So, I mean, I try to buy flowers every week. Okay, someone's laughing. So, it's just the flower sellers prevent me from. So, in Source 11 is a commentary called Arve Nachal. His name was David Shlomo Eivshitz. I do not know if there's any relationship with Yonason Eivshitz. He himself was a chassid. He ended up moving to Eretz Yisrael. And he writes, so he says something really interesting here. He says that when a person does a sin, I skipped the first couple lines, when a person sins, what happens? Let's read the beginning. The Gemara says, if you do a sin once and do it a second time, it becomes like it's allowed. The Gemara says, like it's allowed? Becomes allowed. It goes, allowed? It's not allowed. No, it becomes like it's allowed. So how is that normally understood? Shall I say it again? You do a sin once before the first time, you struggle, you think, there's guilt. You do it a second time, there's much less struggle. You get a third, fourth, it already becomes part of your nature. So then it becomes allowed. So to do tshuva after all that time becomes much more difficult. That's the normal way of saying this. What the Avri Nachal just now said is that God has chesed with the sinner. How so? That if he does a sin a couple of times, it becomes allowed. What happens when it becomes allowed? There's no longer Yetzihara. Why is it no longer Yetzihara? Because only Yetzihara when you think it's forbidden fruit. You think it's allowed to do. This is the exact opposite of what the Kli Yakar were saying. And he's saying, oh, at this point it's allowed, so that's how a person could do tshuva, because there's no struggle with it anymore. There's no struggle, okay, so I'll stop doing this. Right? And that's really what he says over here. But what intrigued me is the following. Is a person allowed to take upon themselves more and more strict things and now have more tsa'ar and therefore more agra? Can a person take upon themselves, which means, can I take reward? Does a person who puts themselves in a difficult situation, will they get more reward? Now, Yisroel Salanter wrote about this. Yisroel Salanter said that if a person, again, one of the points of doing tshuva, you know, there's different things of a kapara. One of the things of in order to get to tshuva gemur, the Ram calls it, is if you find yourself in the same situation. So would you say it's wise for a sinner to put himself in the same situation in order to be able to complete their tshuva? There's actually something absurd about this. I hope you understand this. The Rambam's example of the sin is the person who sinned with sleeping with another woman. So according to the Rambam, therefore, should every sinner make sure that they get secluded with another woman to make sure that they get complete forgiveness. So does everybody realize there's something really wrong about what I just now said? But should I work to get my reward? Should I put myself in this situation? So Yisroel Salanter says, no, that's called stupidity, to put yourself in the same situation. And he says that the only way that you get reward is if you find yourself in this situation. Not that you've put yourself in this situation. Take a look at source 13. This is the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner. Amnum koshi zesh amadnu alav bekan, enu elishlav rishon shel hatam midvrei Rambam, shalo gam lafi hatmiya hanal, yotz lekol apachot eltum aproshim mimatzav chit hakodem olim heim. I'm going to skip a little bit over here. You see, around two-thirds of the way through, Shere Yaduhu Miyasodu Shomaran Hagon Rav Yisroel Salanter, that's the gris there, Ki Otoha Chok Shalafum Tzara Agra, No Rakbo Tamanisinot Shadam Ha'umad Bem Bide Shamayim, Ava Otamanisinot Shadam Atzmo Hivi Otamalav, Shahu Ichnis Atzmo Botawa Matzavim Shal Nisayon, Alotona Nisyonot Shoch Locha Lachok Shalafum Tzara Agra. So Yisroel Salanter said, if you created your own difficult situation, there's no tzara agra in such a situation. It's just plain stupidity. On the other hand, I now have to now go back and ask myself the whole Nazir situation. The whole Nazir situation is somebody who's put himself in these additional laws or additional chumrot, additional things. How does this work? Now, I want to say two things as we move towards an end. One is the Arvei Nachal. What did he start to say? He started to say that the sinner, once he sins a couple of times, there's no longer any struggle, so there's no longer Yetzihara, which was the whole thing which bothered, right? There's only that bothered the Kli Yakar, because you've made more Yetzihara, and those Yetzihara, that's the secret of how a person can do tshuva. He goes on to say, that's what's going to bring Mashiach. Look at the end of Source 11. L'chein masa Hashem itbarach, hitviya behem shiach chutzpa yiska, ve'ein busha lo me Hashem itbarach, lo b'nei Adam, I don't know if his days were all that bad. There's a little bit of the Haskalah that he fought against. But he says, what's going to happen? People will sin without any thought about it. Sin will no longer be. He goes, there was a time that before a person sinned, there was Hinein, Einini, Mulchun, Zuman, right? There was Kavana that went involved in it. He goes, we live in a generation. He goes, look all around. People sin left and right. I don't even think about it. So he says, this is wonderful. Why is it wonderful? Because it means there's no Yetzirah anymore. He goes, this is how Mashiach is going to come. He goes, Mashiach is going to come from a whole generation of people who sin because there's no Yetzirah. Look how easy it's going to be to get them off of those sins because there's no Yetzirah. So again, this is fascinating because this is really the opposite. Now, did I have a Shloah HaKadosh over here or no? We skipped the Shloah. We skipped it or no? 12, the Shloah. The Shloah says that part of doing tshuva is the opposite of what we just now saw in Yisroel Salanter. He says, and he's quoting from the Rekanati, Vidvadu achatatam, ki tzarech lehidvadot, b'fiv mamash. Right, a person has to do vidui. Right. V'tshuva mo'ed lachzir inyan l'kadmuto. Tshuva helps return to get a person to a previous situation. L'asir kochot atumah mi-beit el, l'ashkoto min-acheset v'rachamim, and we'll skip a little bit more. Amnam kavanata Torah hashlema v'dat rabotenu zal hanim shechim echarehi. He goes, the Torah's intention and the rabbis who explain it, ki tzorech kol bal tshuva l'lkot u'lehit anot u'lehit sta'er l'fi anasha kibel. This is echoes of the Chasidei Ashkenaz, that for every sin, for every pleasure that you had, you need to create tsa'ar. Why? Because lefum tsa'ar agra, according to the pain, is the reward. Ulefum agra, tsa'ara. And he says, his point essentially is that a person who sinned now needs to bring about pain on themselves, because that's part of what the what the tshuva process is. Now, you can argue whether this is really the exact same thing as what Yisrael Salanter is saying, because Yisrael Salanter is saying that you shouldn't put yourself into difficult situations. And on the other hand, the Shlah is saying is that part of healing the soul is that you need to take away certain pleasures of this world. You need to go through some kind of a pain in order to, as a counterbalance to the pleasure that a person enjoyed. I want to end by going back to what I said in the beginning. What is a Nazir? A Nazir, I called him a counterfeit Kohen. He's a Kohen in the sense that he can't become Tameh, like a Kohen Gadol even, can't become Tameh to anyone. He's like a Kohen that he can't drink wine, so he's like a Kohen in service. But he's not a Kohen because his hair has to go long, so he has to remember that. But there's also a really big difference between him and a Kohen. What does a Kohen do? Okay. A Kohen is somebody who, well, let's put it this way. What is immediately after the verses that deal with the Nazir? Go back to source number one. We ended up, the very next verses after Kaf Aleph, Zotarat Nazir, what's the next verse? Kaf Bet. So what does the Kohen do? Right over here, contrasted with the Nazir, he's the one who brings blessings down from heaven. What does the Nazir do in the Beit HaMikdash? He's the one who brings the offerings up to God. There's a whole argument in the Gemara, which we have as the last source over here, which we're not going to read, whether the Kohen is a shliach of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, or whether he's a shliach of Am Yisrael. Is he an emissary of the people or emissary of God? And the answer may very well be both. That what does the Kohen do? He connects us with God. He brings blessings from heaven down to us, and he works in the Beit HaMikdash. What's a bama? A bama is somebody's own private place, which means the holiness of the Nazir doesn't impact on anyone. The holiness of the Nazir, he's an island. It's a bama. That's exactly why the Kli Yakar was so precise in bringing that general description of Nedarim regarding the Nazir. It's a bama. It's not the Mishkan. He's not doing it for anybody else. He's not bringing the blessings down from heaven. All that he's doing is he has his own holiness. And that's something which is very suspicious or very suspect. When a person has holiness and it doesn't impact on any other person, so what kind of holiness is that? If a person has holiness that affects others, you know, we quoted Yisrael Salanter. Let me quote something else from Yisrael Salanter. Beautiful teaching, an important teaching, and a teaching you should remember every single day. Yisrael Salanter said that somebody else's physical needs are your spiritual responsibilities. That's holiness. You helping somebody else with their physical needs is a spiritual responsibility. That's a holy person. But the holy person deals with this world. Holy person deals. The Kohen brings down these brachot, which are physical and spiritual brachot. The Kohen helps the person who sinned, even by accident, get closer to God. This Nazir who's holy, who did this holiness impact? And the answer is absolutely nobody. Which means when you have a really holy person, and you say, well, what makes them holy? Well, they're a really holy person. But what makes them holy? Well, they don't cut their hair. Okay, so? They don't drink wine. Okay, so? They're really holy. They help people who are hungry, and they give them food. Wow. That's a holy person. They're really holy because they reach out to others, and they teach, and they help, and they care about other people's needs. That person's holy. Which means this kind of holiness, as we said before, maybe this person needs some kind of an adjustment. But what we saw, the Kli Yakar, I thought was very sharp. What has he done? End of the day, what has he done? He's brought more holiness in the world. What else did he bring? He brought more Yetzirah in the world. Is he going to win? Who knows if he's going to win? What did he need this for? Why do you need to create this kind of situation? In fact, there's two types of nedarim. This is also part of the Kli Yakar says later. There's two types of nedarim. One kind of neder is a neder that you made in the moment of passion, moment of got excited, moment of anger, and you made a neder. Another kind of neder is you sat and you thought and so on. One of those nedarim will be very easy to cancel. Which one? The first one. How easy will it be to cancel? You go over to the rabbi, you say, well, did you think of this? Well, no. Why? Because you leaped, you jumped. Did you think of this? No. Did you think of that? No. So this is very, very easy to find the petach and open up that vow. But the person who sat and they thought and they considered, that person would be very hard to do it. That's what the Gemara was saying. That's what Rashi was saying. The Gemara is saying whoever makes a neder is if they built a bama. Okay, you built a bama, you've created a new place of holiness for self-worship. It's not a real isser. You've made more Yetzirah. Okay, step down, right? Come down from, stop. Find a way to cancel it. You didn't find a way to cancel it? You want to stick with this? So now it's as if you've made an offering on your own personal bama. Yes, you've made more holiness in the world, but we're very suspicious of this holiness because it's very, very similar to Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah is when you're worshipping yourself and you're not worshipping God. And at the end, therefore, a neder is very dangerous. A nazir is very, very dangerous. Maybe somebody feels they need it, but what we see is that this is a really dangerous place to go. You want to really be holy and find a way of helping other people.